Hi, everybody. This is Nancy Miller from My Creative Life, the podcast about creatives, how and why they make the work that they do. Today, my special guest is Arlene Abundis, is a Cuban-American author whose work honors resilience through mental and emotional health. A former preschool teacher, she lives nestled with her husband and three children between the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains in California. Arlene's debut picture book, Into the Mighty Sea, with HarperCollins, releases on June 4th, 2024. Hi, Arlene. How are you doing today?
Hi, Nancy. I'm doing great. Such an honor to be here with you in your art room.
Aww. You're so kind to say that, Arlene. Arlene, I am honored. I was honored that you would share your writing and creative journey with myself and the listeners. Because I was so touched that you shared with me your book and then your author's notes, shared the things on your Instagram and also in chats. I mean, it's amazing what you have accomplished with your writing and your creative journey.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It means the world to me to be able to share this journey with especially the readers and the writing author, you know, reading community. All of you have been such a huge part of my journey, and this is what we do, right? So, yes.
Yes, and I know that people probably, you get asked this a lot, but what inspired your writing journey?
So, first and foremost, I will always say that I am a reader first, always. When I was very young, a young elementary schooler, I was bullied as a child. So, and by bullying, I mean like severe bullying, like physically, emotionally, verbally. So I would escape to libraries. They were my refuge, safe place, a way for me to process and escape through these worlds and characters authors penned. And I never dreamed of being an author. I felt like that was just so far away, like not achievable in some way, but I loved books. So during adolescence, I discovered poetry, and I think that was the greatest literary discovery for me because it was the best way I expressed myself. And that ties into the foundation of my lyrical writing. And so I'm doing stepping stones here. I'm going from childhood to adolescence to now adulthood. And, you know, I got married, became a mom, and I was a preschool teacher, and my lessons were always centered around books. I remember my coworkers were like, what book is, you know, are we going to do today? Are we going to do this week? So I loved books, reading. So after I became a mom, I stayed home for over a decade to be the full-time caregiver of my children. And I have three. So for us, that's just the way it worked out. And I decided to go back to college eventually, initially to finish up my child development degree so I could teach again, renew some credentials. But while taking a children's literature class, I started a blog. And that connected my motherhood journey to children's books because I loved reading to my kids. And something so powerful ignited within me. And that's when a dream was born to pen my own stories with a desire to not only see my culture and childhood experiences represented in traditional publishing, because I knew I wanted traditional publishing. So people told me, oh, self-publishing, but that was just what my heart was set on. But I really wanted to heal those wounds of never quite belonging through writing. That was, I think, the journey of my life. I never felt like I belonged, just like my character, Maria, in Into the Mighty Sea. And so I longed to see a protagonist that symbolized my unique cultural experiences. I was born to parents who migrated as refugees. And you know, you read my author's note from Cuba. And their suffering and oppression and were the arbiter of a lot, I would say actually most of my experiences and relationships. And my father being a former political prisoner, that was a big factor. And like, I could never go back to my parents' homeland, right? Like, so growing up, there was like this identity crisis, I think, at every turn in my life, like big turns and milestones, because I'm like, okay, I'm not from here. I'm from here, but I know I'm not really from here. I don't know if that makes sense, but I was like, okay, I'm Cuban American, but what does that mean? I will never go to the island, right? And experience these things Cuban people do. Sure, my mom makes traditional things. We do like some food, some traditional things, but I don't know. I had like a Latina complex. I don't know if we could call it that, but I think that's where writing came for me, like a way to kind of heal and belong and really get to know myself. I call writing for me like putting a mirror up in front of my face all the time. And sometimes you don't want to look in that mirror, but you know, I always try. So I think that's been the journey of, you know, what inspired me to become a writer. I know it was a lot. I think I did like a river, crossing a river and going on these stepping stones to getting to the present day. But I really wanted to highlight that I will always and foremost always be a reader. So I love words and books, and I can't believe I get to do it now. So I'm like so still honored and humbled and in awe. Well, I thought it was just so beautiful and such a personal story that Into the Mighty Sea, what you say speaks to me about your experience. Like, you know, I wasn't born here in the U.S. I immigrated with my family when I was very young from South Korea. And there is a bit of that, you know, when you migrate so far from your home country, you realize you miss a lot of those other things that, like, I wish I was older when I'd moved. I mean, in my case, I was not in a situation where it was, you know, any kind of political, like, refugee or anything like that. But it was just, I wish that I could have known more of the culture in terms of, you know, because some of those things you just have to kind of live over time and be exposed to. And here in the U.S., it's just, I don't know, I immigrated to a very, very homogenous area in the U.S., and so there weren't a lot of other Asian families, or particularly Korean families. Was that like that for you, where you grew up here in the U.S.?
So that's such a great question. And what you said, like, pulled on my heartstrings, because I thought of my parents coming here and they were older, right? My mom was in her 20s and so was my father. But yes, growing up, I was in school the only Cuban American. And we lived at that time, not now, it's very different now, right? It was predominantly white. So of course, you know, like every child, you just want to assimilate as well. And we did have a culture of more Cuban in my church community, but there weren't a lot of kids at that time, right? So it was more adults. And I think in general, when my parents came, when they shared their immigration story with me, they told me that they were the only people or Cubans on the plane that got off, like, here in California. Everybody went to the East Coast. They came to the West Coast. So I think that speaks also volumes of, you know, how some lonely periods, right? Because I think, like you said, even though I didn't migrate when I was young, I still think that I was born into like a situation. For example, my dad just had a hard time talking about his life on the island and all that he went through. And I think he also wanted to kind of start over coming here. So there wasn't a lot of talking about like my homeland. And like you said, something resonated with me is that you have to live those experiences, right? So to understand also your connection to your people, who you are. And I love that you're Korean, because I'm gonna switch gears here. I do the whole time I ramble. But no, my professor, when I went back to school, to college, and got, you know, lost in this new dream, my children's literature professor was Korean, and she was the first person outside of my family that read Into the Mighty Sea, the first manuscript that I ever penned. And she was like the biggest encourager, and she believed in it. She was like, this has to get published. And she was always pushing me in the class to like participate in poetry festivals. And she just believed in me in a way where I think I was so encouraged to pursue it even more. Because, you know, your family, obviously, they, like my husband or my kids at the time, my kids are, I used to call them my testers. I would read it to them. And if it made sense, I'm like, okay, great. If it doesn't, the looks on their faces, I'm like, what? I knew I had to go in and change things. But I remember that, you know, my family all liked it. But the family, right, they're going to give you, like, generally good feedback, I think, because they're kind and they love you. But this was like a professional. She was an English professor at my college. And I don't know why I felt to share it with her. And She was just such a big part of the journey, and she passed in 2019. No, I'm sorry, 2020. And I remember when I got the book deal, I somehow called the college and I found out what happened, and I went to like where she was buried. I did a lot of research, and I like wrote her a letter, and then her sister came and found it, and I've connected through her family. So I just feel like those little, I call them like little nuggets, you know, of like this, like little nuggets of gold for me, because even though I lost her, she was such a big part of the journey. Like now I have her sister and her sister's kids and her husband who I've connected with, and her mom and her dad who live here too. And just by me leaving a note, just thanking her, I know she wasn't going to read it. I know it was more for closure for me of not being able to like see her path. I'm sorry, I'm rambling with the story, but it was just so meaningful to connect now like with her family, and her family is just so supportive of the book as well. So it's just, it's so beautiful how things can unravel in the journey of becoming. And I really want to share that because your culture, I love the Korean culture. I love the food. So I just love that you shared your experience too, coming to the United States. So that resonated with me. And I'm sorry if I just went on a tangent here.
No, Artley, I just, every time when you tell your stories that, you know, like Into the Mighty Sea or just what you shared now, I'm just like getting all like a little bit teary eyed right now. I'm just like, what are the chances that her sister would come across that letter? I mean, like, my goodness, that is just so amazing that that, you know, that you were able to make that connection with your professor's family. And that is just so heartwarming to hear that your words reached out to another person like that. They, you know, I think that's just amazing and lovely.
Thank you, Nancy. And I think to tie back, right, it does go back to why we write or create art, is for connection. Obviously, I write, it's a solitary endeavor as we're discovering the story, or drafting it, or, you know, illustrating, drawing it. But I mean, I don't draw. I wish I had that gift like you, Nancy. I really do. I draw like stick figures, preschool characters, but like, I mean, preschool stage development art. But I think it's the same process for all of us as creatives. Like we are trying to discover something about ourselves in the story we're penning, but then we want it to like impact others and inform those connections. So at least for me, in the journey, it's been about connection. And I just find that sometimes if you let it flow and let it be, which is hard because I tend to want to control a lot of things, but you can't, especially with art. You cannot control things, you know.
Well, that, I really appreciate that insight, because it makes me think about the relationships and also the emotions that come along with that. And you did such a beautiful job with the emotional arc throughout the story. And I loved how your illustrator connected that with the visuals as well. And I was wondering, how do you process as a writer to do that in your writing, like with that emotional, you know, I find that very difficult because I am not a natural writer, and I'm always like, how can I get more emotional impact in that story? Do you have any advice for us?
I wish I had more professional advice, but I'm going to just, like, I think this is what I do. I just pen it my heart. I think one of the things I've discovered about myself in this writing process, especially for Into the Mighty Sea, is that I'm not afraid to be vulnerable. And typically I am, but there was something in the exploration of this particular story, and just like from a personal space perspective, I just really said, okay, I am going to just be vulnerable here and kind of get lost in my emotions, which could be really bad sometimes, getting lost in our emotions. But for me, it tends to help me with the story, just put my emotions all out there, like no fear, just let it go, like like Elsa, you know, so like I kind of like her, like I don't like to show up, but I know that I need to, so in order to explore this creative side of myself, So yeah, I compare it kind of like to Elsa. Maybe I should just say that. It should be like Frozen, like Elsa, let it go. But it's hard, Nancy. I completely agree with you. It's very hard to be vulnerable on that page. And especially going into debut year now, it's hitting me that people are going to read what I just wrote. And it makes me very nervous. And also my author's note, I kind of just told everybody what's wrong with me. So I'm like, oh, okay, was this a good idea? But it was. It was. It's just like you said, it's hard to be vulnerable. It really is. But vulnerability is power and strength.
I totally agree. It felt like when I was reading it, you put your heart on your sleeves, like you just kind of let us in on, you know, I just felt like this character is akin to Arlene and she's just kind of put herself out there. And it was so beautifully done. And I know that from, you know, as a writer, this was not something that happened overnight. This writing journey, I'm sure it took a long time to get to this point where it is this finished book, because I think a lot of times when we see on social media, everybody posts their wins. But, you know, can you tell us, like, how long did it take you from that first initial writing to, you know, holding that book in your hand? That,
yeah, so it, I love what you said, Instagram or social media, reels or stories are not truth. They are our highs. They're sometimes not our lows. I've been trying to be more transparent in posting about the journey, more of my lows, right? Because Into the Mighty Sea took 5 years from when I wrote it to when it was like I saw it, you know, finished, like the finished product. And that's a long time. And, you know, it's not easy. It's like kind of I had to travel the sea, that it was 5 years of just rejection and, you know, helpful ones sometimes. There are very kind people in the traditional publishing industry that will give you feedback, that will help you. But it is a big, like, you're riding a wave. There's so many highs and lows. And you doubt yourself, like, is this really what I should be doing? Should I keep going here? But there's something in particular for me, and it's now I understand looking back, it was my healing journey. Like, I needed to get the story out there, and I hope it touches others. I hope Maria could be like this force for someone, or like this child that needs that connection to be seen, to be heard in the way that they don't feel like they belong. So for me, going back to when I, Into the Mighty Sea was the first picture book manuscript I penned. So you can imagine how many times it changed. And actually, it was not even called Into the Mighty Sea when I penned it. It was called Marielle's Big and Loud Cuban Family. So even the title changes. I know for some writers it doesn't, but for me it did as I explored more. And then, you know, when the time came, I actually got my editor at HarperCollins, Carolina Ortiz, became interested before I even had an agent. I participated in a Twitter pitching event called PB Pitch in 2021, and she hearted my pitch for Into the Mighty Sea. And obviously I had been with an agent and it didn't work out for non-reasons in my end, and I don't want to go into it, but because I've had two agents prior, but before Into the Mighty Sea, I had one, and there was no transparency or honesty, integrity. So that partnership I had to end. So I was looking for an agent. So for me, it was so surprising when I kind of stood on this like ground that, okay, this editor's interested, and now I could query with editor interest. Yet, honestly, Nancy, I never thought it would be a Big Five publishing my book. I always thought it was going to be an independent publisher, a smaller publisher, because I just didn't think it possible. Like, I was dreaming it, but I didn't think it was possible. And I like to stay humble, right? So I'm like, you know, it's okay. Well, whoever opens the door, I'm going to be so grateful for, in awe, and just, you know, just so grateful for them believing in the story. So when she liked it, I knew there was a chance of her not acquiring it. But it ended up that with her interest, I did get several agents who wanted to acquire me. So I ended up going with a particular agent at the time, and that we shared. And that's another story. But she, you know, Carolina Ortiz was my first emotional safe place. She decided to acquire it. And I had to do, you know, an R&R, which is a revise and resubmit. She did ask me for some changes, especially towards the end. And I was willing, I was just really open. I went into this journey of the writing process for HMIC really open. I stayed like, okay, what do you need for me? You know, as long as the vision aligned, you know, the foundational vision, I was open to changing, you know, and seeing how the story evolved together, because that is one of the reasons I went in I went this route, traditional publishing. I wanted that, you know, like it takes a book to make a village, right? So I really wanted that professional connection and partnership with someone in the story. And we went into revising. She acquired the book, and you know, she, like I said, she was my first emotional safe place in exploring these facets of me that I really didn't want to face, Nancy. There were times where, you know, we did so much psychological development and exploration of the story character, and I was not diagnosed at the time with anything. I had not been in therapy. But she just believed in me so much and pushed me in a way where every round was a mirror being placed in front of me. And I was like looking at Mariel with these colors. Like when I was a little girl, I loved kaleidoscopes. So I think this was a big inspiration for the story. And my kids are like, what's a kaleidoscope? I had to like buy one. Yes. Yeah, like, oh, present generations don't know what this. But I just saw these beautiful, broken, colorful pieces of myself with every round of revisions, and that were somehow shining through this storytelling and this process with her. And I knew like this was something very special. And I said, you know, even if no one buys the book, it's been life-changing for me. It's been life-changing for me. So after I delivered that final manuscript in April 2022, I had the courage to go to therapy for the first time ever in life. And I was diagnosed with social anxiety, which is what my character parallels with. You know, and it's interesting because I never saw myself as socially anxious, but looking back now, it's not social anxiety my therapist helped me to realize. I'm very much anxious when people come into my personal space, just like Mariel. I could go into a crowd. I'm okay. I will linger off to the side. I will never, you know, kind of belong with the main group, but I will connect with one person. That's my strength in a group. I'm good with one or two connections. And I make those connections personal and strong, right? Because I don't like small talk. But anyway, so I was diagnosed, and I remember sending my editor the diagnosis at the time. And I was like, you know, I don't know why I feel like maybe we hadn't done the author's note, but I said, now I realize kind of what my father has. It was like life-changing, Nancy, like life-opening, like heart-opening. I don't even know how to describe with words, and I write. So I just remember telling my editor, like, this is what's happening, and I feel like it's important. Maybe if we put in an author's note, and she completely left that up to me. She said, you know, this is very personal. If you need time to think about it, take your time. You know, it would be very lovely to tie it together, but she really wanted to respect that I just started the journey. So she really encouraged some time to think about it. And the more that I thought about it, the more that I thought it would help someone who was, you know, picture books are for young hearts and older hearts. There's like, it's for every heart, every age. And I just, you know, and the author's note is more for the parents and maybe the educators, they could tie it in. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be once again brave and vulnerable, and I really wanted to do it. And it just worked out. Like I said before, I just kind of let it flow and let it go, and everything kind of just worked out, tied together, because I honestly did not ever think that I would even start therapy. Like I knew I needed it. You know, I went through some hard things in adolescence too, but I just never saw myself here. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Into the Mighty Sea. I would not be healing and on this healing journey.
Oh, the ending is lovely. I adore the relationship between the main character and her father. I thought that was well done in the story. But the ending just like was so sweet. And I was like, oh, I'm just... Yeah. And then to go into your personal story and your family's journey, I thought that was super brave to share that. The story, your book touched me, and I'm just so excited that it will be out there for everybody to share. and read in June of 2024. So that's right around the corner. Now, I have to ask, because you are a very busy person. You have three children, so a family. You have your own job, and then you're also an author writing your stories. How do you balance all of that, Arlene?
I don't know how to balance anything. I try my best. I think I'm still very much learning and working on managing it all. I think, you know, as a mom, we somehow learn these skills, right? As we dive into motherhood, about organization and how to balance like our kids and their schedules. And I think that helps, at least for me, it's helped me really organize myself also in my professional side, because I would have to say I've been more of, you know, a mom than anything in my life. And so now going into this journey, like professional career journey of an author, it's been tough at times, because I want to meet their every need, and that's impossible. Also, as a mother, we cannot meet everybody's needs. And so professionally too, right, we have to set those boundaries. And that's where therapy has really helped me, and this healing journey with Into the Mighty Sea, that I could look at it from a perspective of bringing all these hats and trying to balance. I think I'm always going to say this, that I'm just trying to balance my life, because I don't think there's any like schedule or thing, because we can make a schedule, right, Nancy? But our kids get sick, or, you know, we get sick, or I haven't had to professionally like ask my editor for extra time on a manuscript, but we write picture books. So I can imagine writing a novel and maybe needing that time if your kids get sick, like, oh, can I have an extension here? So, and that's something that when I first started with my editor, I was like, I'm never going to do. How can I ask for an extension? But then you realize life happens, and work-life balance is really tough. And, you know, Nancy, as women too, right? There's so much that I think we put ourselves on our shoulders. At least for me, I really tough on myself on trying to accomplish it all. And when I can't get like two things done that I've, you know, oh, I got everything else, but these two things that I wanted to, I'm really hard on myself. And that's something that I'm also working on, not to be hard on myself for not balancing it all, because it's impossible.
And I was wondering if you could go back in time to your younger writer self and give yourself some advice about this creative journey that you're going to go on, what would that be?
Oh my gosh, I actually wrote something, and I have it penned in a notebook. It was part of one of the exercises my therapist had me do, because we did a lot of inner child healing. And so I would tell my younger self that there's a vision and strength that you carry, but you can't understand it or see it yet. And it's not your job to right now, because life will show you when it's time. Your job is to persevere through it all, even when it's so hard and you feel like you can't go on. I believe in you and can see everything you're about to do. So lead with love, for your heart is like an ocean wave, carrying healing energy to other hearts along the way. That's what I'm told by your self.
Oh, that's beautiful, Arlene. Oh, that is so sweet. Oh, that is a wonderful message. And I think a lot of people who are listening, you know, can put that to their own life, you know, and no matter where you come from or what background, yeah, that's something that everybody could, you know, learn from. So thank you. Now, is there anyone on your journey that you're grateful for on this creative path?
Oh my goodness. So many. So many. Obviously my family, you know, my kids, they inspire me so much. I think working, especially with this age group, my kids are such a source of inspiration for my stories. And also when I used to teach, you know, I think if you're a teacher in general and you work with younger kids, they inspire you so much every single day. There's just something so beautiful about, I love those little hearts and those little minds and what they do and what they're capable of inspiring in us. So I'm really grateful for children in general, and my husband in particular, who's always supported my journey, and he loves me through all my mental messy chaos. And You know, Nancy, I'm grateful for you, the writing community, the author community, you know, the industry professionals too. And 2023 was a year for me in particular for authentic and impactful community, something I never had. And I was really trying hard to seek that connection in those hearts for literacy and healing that was aligned to me. And so I'm just so grateful for all those who just kind of come into my life and that we formed these connections and partnerships or relationships. Like my current agent right now, Monica, she's amazing. And I know I've had to go through three of them, but you know what they say, the third time, right? The best, what is this thing? I forgot. I had it in my mind. Third time is the best
charm.
Yes. Yes.
Third time is a charm.
Yes. And she's just so amazing. And also my editor, right? Carolina Ortiz. I mean, this story would not be what it is if it wasn't for her vision for it as well. And my illustrator, I mean, she brought it to life. I just love Cynthia so much. She brought it to life. And I remember when I saw the first sketches, the first time I cried. I cried, like I just sobbed, because it was like seeing these characters, you know, that for so long have been with you in your mind on the page. So I'm so grateful for her and the delicate also approach she had with my story. You know, she wanted to have conversations. We had creative meetings. She really wanted to get to know, you know, me and this my parents' story, this migration story, to really bring this book to what it is today. And I am just so grateful for her. I've never met anyone like her. And I know that not everybody gets to work with, you know, your artist or your illustrator in this way. But I've been so blessed that she's just been so receptive and so communicative. So I'm really grateful for her, Nancy, really grateful for her. So, you know, these professionals from my agent to my editor, and also like I have such close friends. Jackie, as you know, is my really close friend from Les Moussades. I have a really good friend, Sita, who's also debuting, and Nikki. I mean, we're all kind of debuting together. So that's what kind of brought us together too. And Jackie in particular is from the same culture as me. We are both Cuban Americans, so we share a lot of those like experiences, you know, we didn't get to have. So, and our book comes out the same day. Can you believe that, Nancy? We debuted the same day. So it's amazing.
That is full circle. And I know there will be so many more stories that will be, you know, books in your future. And I will be looking for them on the bookshelves. Now, this is a podcast and no one can see your wonderful book, Into the Mighty Sea, or they want to learn more about you. Where can they go to find out more?
They can go to my website, arlenabundis.com, or also my publisher's website, harpercollins.com, and they can either put in my name or Into the Mighty Sea. And then also I'm very much active on my Instagram social. That's my preferred social. I still have a Twitter, but I'm not as active on it anymore. So Instagram is definitely where you can see a lot of also like behind the scenes and snippets of my messy journey. I try to be more intentional with showing those, you know, lows in our journeys, because they're important. They're what keeps you going. I remember going to other people's like YouTubes and wanting to listen to the author who was going through the same thing I was going through, like not getting, you know, through to agents and all these rejections. And I wanted to hear her lows, right? Because you get hope and inspiration. So I want to be more, more vulnerable with that too. So definitely Instagram. I'm very active. I've tried TikTok. It's just, it's hard. TikTok is, it's hard. There's like more to learn. And like, you know, I'm almost 39, I'm going into my 40s. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just too old for this platform. But I'm trying TikTok too. I'm trying it out.
Well, I know that nobody can see a picture of you, but you'll see it on the podcast cover. Arlene looks like she's like in her early 20s. I'm just like floored every time. I was like, and I think maybe one of the photos, because I think your son in one of the photo shoots from your Instagram, I think he took it. And I'm like, hey, he's a great photographer. But I was like, you just don't have a bad side. You just look perpetually so youthful. And just your heart comes out in your, you know, in the photos that you share. And I am so honored that you would share with myself and the listeners, your personal journey to publication and to have a book coming out in 2024. Congratulations, Arlene. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Nancy. It's been such an honor. And thank you for all your support and kind words and just being such a pillar for me in this journey too. I listen to your podcast all the time. I get inspired by all of the creatives you have on here. And, you know, I am just so grateful that I get to be here with you in your art room. It's been so special. So thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to My Creative Life. Bye.